All right, so we try to do this in 15 minutes. I haven't probably done one sermon in 15 minutes all summer, have I? But I haven't been here all summer, but I probably haven't done it in 15 minutes all summer. I want to talk about Acts chapter 10 and the story of Cornelius. Does everybody raise your hand if you remember the story of Cornelius? All right, just a brief summary. Peter is in Joppa. Cornelius is he's a Roman centurion. He's in Caesarea. He is praying. He's a devout guy. He worships the God of the Jews. He gives his money to help the Jews. It says he fears God. He's praying and an angel shows up. And he's scared to death. And the angel says, hey, listen, God has heard your prayers and he likes you. You need to send somebody to Joppa. Look for a man named Peter. He is staying in the house of a guy who's a tanner. You ask him to come here. Those guys get sent. Well, Peter's praying the next day or somewhere thereafter, and he's up there at lunch. It's lunchtime. It's noon, and he's praying. And all of a sudden, he sees his vision, right? He sees the vision of the sheet lowered from heaven. The heavens are open. The sheet is lowered, and there's all these animals in it, everything from cattle to rabbits to crocodiles. I mean, it doesn't specify that, but it uses the language that's in Genesis. He sees all these animals. God says, arise, kill, and eat. Peter says, three times, no way, Lord. You know, I know you're tricking me. I know I'm not supposed to eat that stuff. This is a test. And he says, no. God says three times, do not call what I have cleansed common. And then the vision goes away and he's scratching his head. Knock, knock, knock. Is there a guy named Peter here? Lo and behold, these guys are here. And he says, what do you guys want? And he says, well, this guy had a dream or he had a vision and angel told him to send for you, and will you come? And he says, well, sure, you'll spend the night. We'll go the next day. He goes. He shows up. Cornelius bows down and worships him. And he says, no, no, no. I'm a man like you. Stand up. Now tell me what this is all about. And he tells him about his vision. He comes into the living room, and there's a crowd. We don't know how many, but all his family, all these soldiers that are with him, there's a big crowd. He preaches the gospel. The Holy Spirit falls. And a lot of these people are filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to share six things out of this for us as a church. All right? Six things. One, the fruit of true prayer will be direction for God, from God. As we continue to be a people of prayer and learn to meet God in prayer, He will direct us in all kinds of ways, but specifically to people who need to know Him. And notice in this, I really like that He directed not just Peter, but the guy who was seeking God, right? This guy was seeking God, and God said, hey, I like you. I've answered your prayer. Just do what I say, and you'll hear what I want you to hear. So we need to continue to be a people who prays. We need to be a people who prays on our own, and we need to be a people who prays together. Notice, by the way, that these guys are all praying at the hours of prayer. Does everybody know what those were? You know, as time went by, there were hours of sacrifice in the temple. And as time went by, a lot of people who couldn't be near the temple would pray during those times. So 9 in the morning was the morning sacrifice. And sometimes there was a Thanksgiving at noon. And then at 3 in the afternoon, there was an evening sacrifice. And Peter's still doing that. He's up there at that time. And so is this guy Cornelius. So we need to believe that there are people, because it's true, there are people that God wants to send us to. And we need to be a people who come into God's presence as we pray, saying, God, I am your servant. Is there somewhere you want me to go or someone you want me to go to? And we need to be a people who believe that God wants to do this. This, by the way, when you look in Acts, I think we've said it a lot, when people pray in Acts, the gospel spreads. When his people gather to hear him, he tells them where to go or where not to go. And so we need to be convinced that he wants to continue to do that. There are people at UK, there are people in our neighborhoods that are crying out to God. And God wants to send us to them. And we need to be a people with attentiveness to hear it. Amen? Two, God will often need to open our minds and push us past our expectations. Okay, all over in Acts. Now this, many people say this is the turning point of Acts. Why? Because the gospel goes for the first time to the Gentiles in a decisive way. And God has to knock Peter on the head about it. By the way, God is, I think a lot of times we think God will just zap us or just, I don't know. He's pretty patient with Jonah. Wasn't he patient with Jonah? I think he was patient with Jonah. I think he's patient with Peter. I think he knew what he needed to do to get Peter where he needed to get him. And he gave him this vision and, you know, he led him there. But the bottom line is, I don't think for the same reasons, but there are people we would never expect to respond to the gospel that God might want to send us to. You know, I think about myself when I was walking across campus as a freshman. If you got to look at me and the way I responded to people passing out to papers or to somebody preaching the free speech area, you would have said there's no way that guy is going to respond to the gospel. And so I think we just need to be prepared for God to open up doors and send us to situations and to people we just don't necessarily expect we would, that would respond to the gospel. Does that make sense? And for all of us, that might be different. Some of us as men would never talk to a woman out in public. You know, we would never think that there might be an opportunity to share the gospel with a woman, but there probably would be, or maybe. I don't know what it would be, but we need to be open to God sending us beyond our expectations. I think one way to describe the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts is the interrupter. He interrupts the apostles all the time. They're available, but he interrupts their expectations. And he sends them to situations that they did not plan and that they did not expect. And we need to be open to that. Amen? Two, I just wanted to point this out. I mentioned Jonah a minute ago. Peter is in Joppa. Who went to Joppa? Anybody know who went to Joppa in the Old Testament? What? Jonah went to Joppa. Jonah went to Joppa to get a boat to go to Tarshish to get away from Nineveh. Everybody remember that? And let me make a point about Jonah. Jonah wasn't scared to go to Nineveh. He didn't like the Ninevites. Is that clear to everyone? He didn't like the Ninevites because they destroyed Israel, or were threatening to destroy Israel, depending on when it happened. He didn't like them. He didn't want them to get saved. He didn't. So just to be very clear, he's in Joppa. And here is, years later, another Jew, believer in Jesus, in Joppa, and God's persuading him and taking him to the Gentiles. I think it's more than a coincidence. Does that make sense? I think he's in Joppa. I think it's more than a coincidence. And I think what I want to say about Joppa is this. God wants to talk to you. He talked to Jonah. The end of the book of Jonah is this. Jonah, you know, you're all upset about this vine that you lost that lost you the shade. Shouldn't I be concerned about a city of this many people and this many animals that doesn't know their right hand from their left? Let me tell you what God is doing. He is trying to bring Jonah into his heart and his purposes. And he wants to do the same with all of us. And I guess what I want to say is maybe you need to befriend a homosexual. Maybe you need to befriend a Muslim. Maybe you need to befriend somebody that you might not say you don't like or whatever, but somehow they're them and we're us, and God wants you to befriend them. Does that make sense? Just briefly mention a story recently about a woman who was, she was a lesbian, she was a professor, she was a feminist. She wrote an article to the local newspaper, and a local pastor wrote to her and said, "Hey, listen, I just have a couple of questions about what you said." They got together for coffee and began to get together for coffee regularly. This pastor and his wife befriended her, and over the course of about 2 to 3 years, she eventually became a Christian, left her girlfriend, became a Christian, eventually married a pastor, and she continues to be a professor. Why? Because one guy befriended this woman. I want to tell you something. It wouldn't have happened otherwise. Think about it. I doubt it would have happened through some other methods. And so I just want to say, God may want us to befriend some people, and we need to be ready for it. Amen? Number four. People are prepared somehow. People are prepared somehow. Now, I want to point out, Cornelius was what we understand to be a God-fearer. This means he was a Gentile who had encountered Jews, heard them tell about God, believed, you know what, I believe what they're saying about God, and began to be worshipers of God. The scripture says he was a God-fearer, he was devout, he gave his money to the poor. And God saw that. And I guess what I want to say is this. Sometimes people come around and they're churched. And we think, okay, they're a Christian. And maybe that's I don't know. Sometimes that question can be misleading. I think the question that we need to ask is, do they have a living faith, and how do I help them along in that? And sometimes I just think we go, oh, they're a Christian, okay, that's fine. But really, we just need to find out what the Spirit of God is doing in them and give ourselves to that. Does that make sense? Because really, I might compare Cornelius to a church attender. That's what I might compare him to. He was a churchgoer and a seemingly guy that feared God. But what did he need to hear? He needed to hear about the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he did, and it changed his life. Does that make sense? So don't let the question, oh, they're a Christian, or they're raised in church, or oh, they've gone to church, or that may not be the most important question. Does that point make sense? Okay. Two more. Number five. What is the gospel? Very briefly, Jesus Christ is Lord. When you look at the message that's presented by Peter, I'm going to briefly go over it. I would encourage you to read it. He says very briefly, well, guys, all right, this is amazing. I realize that God doesn't play favorites. That anywhere somebody genuinely fears him, he respects that and he wants to meet them. So let me tell you what God wants me to tell you. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, and he went around doing good to people, specifically healing people and setting them free from the oppression of Satan. They put him to death, but God raised him from the dead. And he thereby confirmed that God had chosen Jesus of Nazareth to be the judge of the living and the dead. And anyone who believes in him can be forgiven for their sins. That was the message. If I were to shorten it, it is simply, Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the one that God is going to set everything right in history by. He is the one that God is going to use to examine every human that has ever lived. And the good news about that is he died for those he's going to judge. And is totally willing to extend them forgiveness. But I guess if I were to restate number five, it is simply this. The gospel is Jesus. The gospel is who he is and what he did. And you don't need to get confused. You can, if all you have is three words to say, Jesus Christ is Lord. And you can unpack that, but that's the gospel. And I would encourage you to look at how he presented it there. I would encourage you to look at how he presents it throughout Acts, but I would encourage you to look at how he presents it there. Jesus Christ is Lord. Last point, number six. Receiving the Holy Spirit seals the deal. All right, notice in the story what happened. It says that Peter's preaching about Jesus, and these God-fearing people believe what he says, and the Holy Spirit falls, and they begin to speak in tongues. This is a second Pentecost, if you will. These people were filled with the Holy Spirit. You get the impression Peter didn't get to finish his sermon. It was kind of wild. And he's like, well, he's kind of surprised. And he really does remind me of Jonah in this. He doesn't necessarily seem all that excited. And then this happens, and he's like, wow. I guess God really wanted to do it, and I guess God knows their hearts, and he's confirmed it by filling with the Holy Spirit. I'm certainly in no position to say they can't be baptized and recognized as people of God. And so what Cornelius needed to hear is Jesus Christ is Lord, and he needed to receive the Holy Spirit. And he did. And Peter left there and people were befuddled by it. And he said, well, listen, let me tell you what happened. I didn't want to do it. I didn't plan it. But I did it. And I preached the message we preach. And they believed and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So what am I to say? Who am I to say that God didn't do something here? So I just want to encourage us with this story over the next... I don't know what we're going to move on to. We're going to move on in terms of what we do on Friday nights. But I want to end with this story. God wants to send us to people. And it may be unexpected to us, and it may be uncomfortable to us. We need to have a clarity about the gospel and what it is. Jesus Christ is the worthy Lord, judge, authority of all. And he is so gracious, he will forgive anyone who will believe in him and fill them with the Holy Spirit so they can live as God wants them to live. That is our gospel. And so I want us to get a clarity on that and be in prayer about that. Amen? All right. Any questions about any of those points before we spend some time in prayer? Any thoughts on any of those points? Yes, I'll say them all again. The fruit of prayer will be direction from God. God directed Cornelius, God directed Peter. Two, God will often need to open our minds and push past our expectations or interrupt our plans. Three, God wants to get our heart in compassion toward those people he has compassion on. That point was Joppa, Jonah. Four, people are prepared somehow, and we just need to figure out how to cooperate with how they're prepared. Some people are prepared less. We need to get them there, right? The Athenians were prepared less. Cornelius was prepared more. He knew the Bible, or the Old Testament anyway. Five, the gospel, if you want to put it in a nutshell, is Jesus Christ is Lord. Paul said, I determined to know nothing when I was among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was a way of saying the gospel is Jesus, who he is, what he did. And six, receiving the Holy Spirit seals the deal. That Peter realized, wow, this has really happened.